chapters of James, and during that time, we've considered some really practical pieces of wisdom. We talked about how God can transform us in our trials. 3 weeks ago, we discussed what true religion is to God. We looked at the fact that we are to be listeners, looking to learn and learn in ways that actually changes our lives and live out of that in ways of love to those around us. Two Sundays ago, we had a really good discussion about the triumph of mercy and our invitation to see everyone through the eyes of God and to live as a community where there's not favorites, where there's not people elevated above one another. Last week, we talked about true faith, a faith that is lived out in real deep and profound ways, and a faith that is not simply something we assent to mentally. So, these pieces of wisdom, allow yourself to be changed through trials, be a listener, learner, and live love. Connect with a Jesus-shaped community in a way that sees everyone through God's eyes and doesn't play favorites, and then don't limit faith to mere knowledge. Show it through a transformed life. Those are the pieces of wisdom that we've talked about so far. And now we get to chapter 3, and James is writing to people who are living in a world where they are the minority, where they are oppressed. And in this chapter, he begins to dig beyond specific pieces of wisdom. In fact, here, what we're going to see is that James gives us a bit of a wisdom test, something that helps his readers, helps us to evaluate when something is real wisdom or when maybe just gives an appearance of wisdom. Maybe more importantly, it allows us to evaluate ourselves. Is what I am offering true wisdom, or is it just something that's coming from somewhere else? Let's pray together, and then I'll read James chapter 3. Father, I just pray that as we work through this, you would help us to see your heart. The things that are important to you, help us to gain a sense of discernment as we speak and act and live in the world. Help us to be able to see things that are in line with you and embrace them. Help us to see things even in ourselves that really aren't in line with you and to be willing to let them go. Father, I just ask that you would speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 3. If you have a Bible, I welcome you to turn there and follow along. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by human beings, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our God and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig leaf bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, how many of you, like I have in my Bible, have an italicized heading at the front of chapter 3? Anybody have a heading there? What does it say in your Bible? Tame in the tongue, what does yours say? Two kinds of wisdom? Yeah, at the beginning of chapter 3, mine is, the NIV, I think, says taming the tongue. And truthfully, I don't really like that heading. I've heard more than one sermon that launched from this text and went something, basically the gist was the tongue is dangerous, so you need to tame it. The difficulty is that there's no challenge, there's no encouragement to tame the tongue in this passage. In fact, it says quite the opposite. It says, can't do it. It can't be done. Here's a brief summary of verses 1 to 12. It will come up on the screen as I mention them. First thing is that if you meet someone whose speech is always good, that person's life is going to reflect their speech. Second thing is humanity can tame animals, control vehicles, even massive ships, but they can't tame or control the tongue. The third thing is that although small, the tongue can cause great disaster. The fourth thing, again, no one can tame this powerful and dangerous instrument. Then as you get down into verses 9 and just a little bit beyond. So the truly reformed heart won't be speaking praise to God and curses at people made in God's image. In essence, James is saying to people, the tongue is powerful, it's dangerous, no one can control it. What's on the inside will come out through the tongue eventually, revealing what is on the inside. Ernest Hemingway, he once said, it takes 2 years to learn to speak and 60 to learn to keep quiet. Part of why I love that quote is Ernest Hemingway lived till he was 61. So he never figured it out. But the point is, like, we can change habits, and we can train behavior, and we can legislate morality, but the true condition of the heart is going to come through at some point, and it's going to come through first through the tongue. When you hear someone speak something, it's going to come out in how they act in some way, shape, or form, eventually. And James, moving beyond that speak about the tongue and the danger of the tongue, basically sounds like, you know, you're going to hear some things that sound like wisdom at times, but you need to do the work to assess what is really wise, what is really the way God wants to work in the world. You can't just always trust what you hear there. You can't just trust what you see. You got to wrestle with some bigger things here. And starting at verse 9, he offers us some things that he doesn't. I don't think he offers it exactly as a template, but it can become a template to help us evaluate when we are truly acting with wisdom or when others are acting in ways or giving advice that is truly wise. And he goes through a bit of a checklist, and we're going to walk through this really briefly together. The goal here isn't to expound on everything, but just to help you see, okay, here's not wisdom, false wisdom, and here are some characteristics of true wisdom, so that as we evaluate ourselves and others, we can get a sense of what is really of God. So he starts in verse 9 looking at some elements of false wisdom. And the first thing is just that it's inconsistent. If you hear somebody claiming to have wisdom, but that person is simultaneously offering blessings and praises to God and cursing those that are made in God's image, It's not a source, that person is not a source of really great wisdom. Is it inconsistent? Are they cursing those that are made in God's image? That's not godly wisdom. Is it coming from a place, you get down to verse 14, these are the two big things. Is it coming from a place of envy? He talks about bitter envy or selfish ambition. Wisdom that is looking out for ourselves or looking out for themselves is not true wisdom. On the contrary, he moves in verse 13, he talks about it, and then down in 17, he unloads a list of things that characterize true wisdom. So true wisdom is going to be seen in verse 13, a good life. It talks about deeds done in humility. That kind of person is the kind of person you look to for wisdom. And what does their wisdom look like? It's pure. It's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, it's impartial, and it's sincere. Pretty stark contrast. Now, there's a lot of earthly wisdom out there, wisdom that people try and push as being the best way to go, that is really rooted in bitter envy, selfish ambition. It's not looking at others as those who are made in God's image. Our call is to test wisdom. Is it pure? Is it peace-loving? Is it considerate? Is it submissive? Is this vice, is this wisdom, is this course of action something that is impartial and sincere? It's the look of true wisdom. And James continues by talking about the source of false and true wisdom. False wisdom, he says, next slide, is earthly, it's unspiritual. He even uses the word demonic. This stuff that comes from a place of looking out for yourself, the stuff that comes from a place of envy and ambition, that's not of God. That's anti-God. That's anti the way of Jesus. True wisdom, these things, this wisdom that is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, so that comes from heaven. That comes from God. Now, so I'll get into that later. That wisdom comes from God. And false wisdom is going to lead us down a certain path. And true wisdom is going to lead us down a certain path. And James gets into what that path is. He just mentions it very briefly. In verse 16, he says, "Where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." The fruit of that kind of wisdom is a mess. It might give you an illusion of something for a time, but long term, it is going to be a mess. On the flip side, true wisdom, as it lives itself out, it says, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." It brings peace and righteousness. Righteousness isn't just about moral living. Righteousness is about things that are in line with the way God wants them to be. It brings forward the things God wants there to be in the world. Now, there are a lot of people who I believe want peace and righteousness, but they insist on pursuing it through ways that curse others who are made in God's image. They kind of have this idea of what they want in the end, but they go about it through unwise ways. There are others who believe the way to peace is to trust the promises of politicians and courts and the military defense of our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and that's what's going to get us there. Others look to the hope of capitalism and, if everybody can just have enough income, that's going to bring us to a place of peace. But everybody who makes money makes it on the backs of someone else. And there's those logic, those pieces of wisdom are full of selfish ambition. Decades and centuries of efforts to those ends haven't solved our problems. There's still a lot of disorder in the world. The wisdom that James offers here, carrying forward the wisdom that Jesus taught us, and there's this love God and love people. It's the only way to pursue peace. The only way to pursue peace is to practice peace. The only way for us to truly enjoy a better way is to look out for the other in a way that describes here: compassionate, submissive, impartial, sincere. Not looking out for their best because of what I'm going to get. That's not sincere anymore, right? But actually genuinely looking out for the best of the other, for the truly their benefit. That is the way to peace and true righteousness. Now, we don't have time to get into the rest of James this morning, but let me say that the way we get to live out that wisdom is not simply by trying harder to live out that wisdom. Right? That's part of the stuff about the tongue. Like, eventually, what's really in our heart is going to come out. In order for that true wisdom to come out, it needs our heart to be changed. And that's kind of what James goes on beyond this chapter. We can't tame ourselves. But as we get into chapter 4, James talks about how we can move towards this wisdom. Listen to some of the words in the next chapter. Got them on the screen here. "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will draw near to you. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. There is for sure a certain amount of just discipline and hard work and submission in learning the wisdom of God. But at the heart of it is a love relationship with the living God in which he gradually transforms us from the inside out. Wisdom isn't a switch that you flick, that you move from this to this. It's something you grow into gradually. And as God transforms us, we become like him as we relate to him. We learn to love like him through enjoying his love. And I believe the flip side is also true. As we practice the love, as we discipline ourselves to practice the love of God, it opens ourselves up more to the love that he wants to give us. We live in a world where there's a myriad of voices claiming wisdom and claiming truth. And this is a bit of something I want to make sure we hear. The easy way out for Christians is to say that everything that has a Jesus fish label or a Christian sticker on it, well, that's good, that's right, that's wise, that's appropriate. And dismiss all the things that doesn't come under that Christian marketing banner. James doesn't allow us to take that easy way out. He calls us into something bigger and deeper because there's lots of stuff that is labeled Christian that's coming from those places of selfish ambition. And there are a lot of things that don't have the Christian label on it that are truly seeking the best for others, sharing that compassion. There are a lot of Christians, even our own responses, often aren't engaging with people in ways that acknowledge their humanity, that acknowledge that they are made in the image of God. Conversely, there are a lot who don't claim the name of Jesus who are offering that kind of care and compassion. We're invited to learn from all sources of godly wisdom and embrace all sources of godly wisdom, whether it's got the brand on it or not. As we go into a myriad of voices over the next week, let's accept this invitation from James to test wisdom through a godly lens. Let's embrace and seek to live out a wisdom that is pure, that is peace-loving, that is considerate, that is submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And James says, as we embrace that, that is what is going to reap the harvest of peace and righteousness. That's what's going to help our world to thrive, that kind of wisdom. We're going to sing a song in response to this challenge of wisdom. We invite the team up. But once the song is done, I ask you to sit because we're going to talk just a little bit more about this idea of peace today. You can stand while the team comes and we will sing the song standing.
This is really a prayer, asking God to help us, to use us, bring peace.